Hey friends, welcome back to the Women in Worship podcast. We are honored that you would take a few minutes out of your day and spend it with us. On this episode, Lee and Elise Miller will sit down with Tasha Treat Masita. Tasha is an incredible worship leader and a dynamic believer from all the way out in Washington State here in the U.S. We have loved getting to know Tasha over the years and cannot wait to share her huge personality with you. You do not want to miss this. She is an incredible encourager. So sit back and please welcome our friend, Tasha Treat Masita.
All right, well, let's get started. So Tasha, why don't you tell everybody so they can get a little bit acquainted with you, a little bit about yourself.
Okay, absolutely. It's so good to be with everyone. It's such an honor. I'm so delighted I could come in from the West Coast,
yes,
all the way from Seattle, Washington. I am Tasha Masita, been married for 7 years, been leading worship for so many years. Started in kids' church, went to junior high, went to high school, leading now in adults, and I'm a PK, born and raised in church. Love leading, love growing team, I think is my favorite part of leading worship, and you know, just having people make that connection. They walk in, maybe holding coffee, maybe arms crossed, maybe don't know what to do, looking around, and then just seeing that moment where people are lifting their hands and connecting. There's just nothing better.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's totally awesome. Well, hey, so what we want to do from there is we want to walk into a fun little game.
Rapid fire questions. I love this so much.
This is going to be super fun. Are you ready, Tasha?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Hey, so you just told a little bit about yourself, but now they're going to know even more.
Yes.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Go, Elise.
Okay. Favorite food?
Mexican food.
Ooh. Okay. What's your coffee order? If you're going to Starbucks, what are you ordering?
Ice grande Americano with half a pump sugar-free vanilla.
Oh, basic.
I don't drink coffee.
Starbucks Town, I was ready for that answer.
Hey, I don't.
So ready.
I don't drink coffee, so I have no idea what that was.
Okay.
Oh, really? You need to come to Seattle.
I know.
Okay, TV show.
Oh, gosh. Madam Secretary.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Is that on Netflix?
It's so good. It's on Netflix. It's a strong chick show.
Yes,
it's
it
so
is.
Fun.
Okay.
And my husband will watch it with me. So
I trust you. That's going on my download list. Okay, the next one. So what's your favorite vacation spot?
Oh, my husband is from South Africa. So if we get a minute to vacation,
that is not
that sounds
fair.
Crazy because it's a 36-hour flight.
Oh, my goodness.
But ooh. I absolutely love South Africa.
Wow.
And I'd say that's my number one.
Okay, what part of South Africa?
Ooh, anywhere. Cape Town, Johannesburg. We met in Bloemfontein, South Africa. So I'll go anywhere and I will be happy. I love the people. I love the food. I love the culture. I love it.
I feel like that automatically like brings up our group average, the fact that, you know, we're going global here with your husband. I can now say that I have a friend in South Africa.
Absolutely. You have so many friends, in fact.
Okay, so if you're shopping for, I'm using air quotes here, church clothes, like where are you headed?
Nordstrom Rack.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, you got to get that long, flowy top. That just screams.
It has to cover here at Highlands. It has to cover below the zipper.
Exactly.
The bottom.
So Nordstrom Rack is the spot.
Okay. Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And then I feel like we cannot leave without asking you this question. So our last rapid fire is, Tasha, what is your Enneagram?
My Enneagram is I am 7, wing 8, and that is the enthusiast. joy is my poison for sure.
I love that though. And but it's really good being in ministry to be a 7.
Yeah, it's been pretty helpful.
Yeah, I feel like there could be a lot worse things going on for you than joy. So Mm-hmm. And we can definitely feel the joy radiating through the phone right now.
Totally.
Oh, good.
Hey, so you told us a little bit earlier in your intro about how you are a PK kid. And so now you're at Christian Faith Center, right?
Yes, ma'am.
In Seattle, Washington.
Oh, you yep.
Yep. Okay. Hey, guys, just so you know, tidbit here is our first phone podcast, so give us some grace, people.
New things every new week. Things. New things happening.
So is there anything about your story that maybe, so you grew up in church, grew up, your dad was always a pastor, right?
Yes.
And so you grew up, when did you first step into the worship team, you said? So you grew up singing and leading worship in kids. And what age was that, you think? Around what age?
Oh, forever. So when I was 5 years old, you know, even before that, my mom could never get me to sit down in front of a TV screen ever.
Yeah.
The only thing that would get me to sit down was musicals.
Wow.
Really?
So, yeah, so I would watch musicals, and then, of course, I'd get up and dance, but that would keep me busy. So it was always music for me that really made me come alive. And so when I was in kids' church, that's when I started serving, really, was on the praise team, you know, the little, you know, yeah. You do all the motions.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was doing all through kids' church. And that transitioned to junior high, where I was still singing, and I was horrible. People never believe me because, you know, it just looks, you know, now I've been doing it for so many years, people think that this is just what I've always done. But I mean, I was horrible. Singing in the wrong key. I was definitely not a child prodigy. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
That's incredible.
But you were faithful.
In high school, and it was, I mean, it was rough coming in the wrong key. Has anyone ever started a song in the wrong key?
That's one of my major fails.
Yes.
Oh, man. I mean, that was a weekly occurrence for me in high school. So I couldn't hear a key to save my life.
Tasha, I would have never have known that about you.
I couldn't hear a key. I couldn't remember the harmony part, but then I would still give it a go. I mean, it was bad.
You know what's so funny is you and I have something in common. So when I grew up, my dad and my brother would always be like, because I started playing keys at 12 when my dad was the worship leader. And so I could play a little bit here and there. But when I would sing, I mean, my pitch was awful.
No way.
Right.
Yeah, it was awful.
And now no one would believe that because you just play anything.
Oh, my gosh. It's just the fact was kind of fun. Maybe we can just turn it back to God here because he deserves all the glory. Because, I mean,
be faithful.
Yeah, just being faithful in where you are. Go ahead, continue. That just threw me. I didn't even think about it.
Well, I feel like that's a good lesson. Like, if you're out there listening right now and you're like, my pitch is terrible, like, there's hope for you.
There is so much hope.
There is definitely hope. Don't give up.
So you were in high school and starting in the wrong key. Sorry, you can continue. It just blew me away. I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely. So singing through high school, went to college, kept staying. One thing that I am really thankful for is I had music in my corner. So when I went to college, I was 45 minutes away, but every weekend I still came home. Mm-hmm. And they still let me be a part of the team, which I was really thankful for.
That's awesome.
It kept me grounded. And so I still served on team and still sang all through college. And moved to South Africa, led worship in South Africa for a number of years, and then came back to the Great Northwest and then sang with adults and was part of our main team and then was on staff and on the pastoral worship team. So, yeah, through it all, like, you know, God just keeps helping me, getting me better and better. There was a pretty traumatic experience, I'll just tell you. One of our worship pastors, Manuel, is such a nice guy, a mentor in my life, but he told me once, you know, Tasha, it's okay because you're a great energy and you're a great leader on stage. It's okay that you're not a strong vocalist.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember, I knew he meant well, and yeah. I knew he was trying to give me a compliment, but I remember being gutted. Like,
yeah.
I can't sing.
Yeah.
And, you know, all I want to do is be a singer. And it was pretty traumatic, but then it just turned me into more of a worshiper and just seek the heart of God, worship God. And the singing, the technical stuff, the quality of my voice, I think, got better over time. But it wasn't necessarily what I thrived at first, for sure.
That is incredible. It just goes to show you what God has called you to do. I mean, he really will equip you. But it does take hard work sometimes.
It does.
It does take hard work.
And I feel like that just shows, like, such strength and like the fact that you are grounded so much and like your calling as a worshiper, whether you are a fantastic vocalist or not, like I just feel like that shows such strength for you to just keep on and like pressing in your calling, like despite what someone like spoke over you. And our lead team with Women in Worship just got back from the She Rises conference with Holly Wagner in LA, and it was an amazing conference. But one of the nights, like, we all sat around and talked about like just our testimony and things that we've gone through in our journey of being where we are as worship leaders. And I feel like one thing that we all had in common is we all had a moment where someone meant well, but they spoke death over the talent and gifting that God had given us. And we all had to make that choice whether we were going to keep going or not.
So, Tasha, you had that experience. So probably you, what did you do in that moment when he said it? Did you, you had to make a conscious decision to say these words, because you know you, he meant well, but they're still words, and sometimes they still hurt really badly.
Yeah.
You had to make a decision to go, what am I going to do with this?
Absolutely. And I think everyone has to make that when calling is in question. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to decide what I'm going to do. We all have those choice, those pivotal choice moments.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, what's crazy is that we've all been hurt before.
Right.
Everyone's been embarrassed. Everyone's been hurt. And we all have. And what really sucks, worse than that, is that we have hurt other people.
Right.
We have said something that was exactly what they didn't need to hear in that moment. Mm-hmm. As leaders, I mean, that's, we're all women in worship. We've done that. We've come in, you know, we brought five people coffee and we forgot one person and they needed it the most. You know, we've all done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we just have to have grace for each other and grace for ourselves that we're gonna make a mistake, but we have to just keep pushing through. And yeah, in that moment though, it was just tough because I pulled back from anything that I felt would put my voice on display.
Wow.
Mm. And the solos, or you know, just those moments where I would feel exposed.
Yeah.
I pulled back a lot, and it took, you know, it took me a while to build back up that courage, that confidence to say, you know what, no, I can do this. Like, I'm still able, I'm still okay. And you know, people mean well, but they'll come in. I remember Brian Houston saying, my goodness, your voice has improved so much, like you're so great. Mm. And he was so nice, but I just remember being like, yeah, okay, rough last time you were here, okay. But you know, he totally meant well, and so you just have to like take that as a compliment. Like, I have improved. You're right. I did suck a couple years ago.
But I love the fact that you even say, like, they meant well. Like, that just shows your heart of, like, always believing the best in people. And I feel like that's a true gift and a decision and a choice that we all have to make on whether or not we're going to, like, stay hurt and, like, let that be a setback for us, or whether we're going to, like, turn that, you know, negative word for good and then use that as fuel for us to keep going. So I just Absolutely. Love that you share that, because I feel like anyone listening today has had one of those moments.
For sure. And you're gonna have another one.
I know.
True. True.
I like, you know, Pastor, you know Pastor John here, and we just released a podcast with him, but he walks around, and if anything's going wrong, his famous statement is, my confidence comes from Christ. My confidence comes from Christ, because it really does. And it feels, you know, maybe it feels elementary to say that, but it never should, because, I mean, you have to be rooted and grounded in Christ and Christ alone, so the words of men and women don't shake you.
Yes.
And if they do shake you, how you come back to just the foundational word of God and what he has spoken over you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And then there's things that we gotta do. You know, sometimes maybe it's just the bold, I've been in church for a lot of years, but there's also a part that says, hey, if you've really done a poor job, like, own it.
Right.
Like, your confidence comes in Christ and comes in excellence. Like,
yes,
I mean, Pastor John Larson and you, they are such an example of excellence. Like, if we blow it, we need to own it. If you did come in on the right part because you weren't prepared because you didn't know your lyrics because you weren't excellent, hey, we got to own that too.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be excellent and be confident in Christ. And I think, you know, David was a skilled musician. And there's some of that that I've been lazy with my own skill because I took a cop out. He said, I can't sing well. Okay, fine. Then I'm not even going to take voice lessons.
Oh, that's wow. Good. Wait, that's
what?
So good.
No, you got to, if they said you're not singing well, that's not an excuse to then retreat forever.
That's like, well, really good, Tasha.
So maybe that's a little.
No, I love that. That's the boldness that we need to hear.
Yeah.
We need to hear those kind of things. I mean that's what we have. You know, we have Highlands College here at Church of the Highlands, and I know that you're raising up, you know, the next generation as well. But
right.
we gotta teach them to own up to things. I even tell my kids all the time, like, be a leader. You know, you
totally.
Have to, if you messed up, just own it. Like, there's so much grace in just honesty. Of
absolutely.
Yeah.
And how much more fun is it when you can laugh at yourself through an embarrassing moment than then you get mad at somebody else for calling you out? Like, no, just own it and laugh and be better next time.
Do you have an embarrassing moment you could tell us about, Tasha?
I have been leading worship, I think, for 17 or 18 years. I have so many embarrassing moments.
Pick your top couple.
Maybe pick okay. one now. Maybe we can talk about one later. But yeah, give us your most
okay,
embarrassing.
Okay, a solid embarrassing moment. Right as the offering buckets were being passed, we last minute had to sing a song. The special didn't work. Like, literally 2 minutes before,
oh,
I was told in my ears, the special's not going to work. We have to sing song two.
No.
Which was like, okay, it's like a mid-tempo song. So I'm like, oh my gosh, buckets are being passed. We have to go. I run to the front and I'm like, let's go, everyone. Get up on your feet. We're going to worship God. And the pastor on the front row is shaking his head no, because the offering buckets had just been passed. Everyone has to stay seated.
Oh, no.
So he's shaking his head no, and now I'm in the middle of this fast, up-tempo song. Half the church just stood up. I have to now tell them to sit back down. I panic. I look like a deer in the freaking headlights. I'm like, just kidding, everyone. Stay on your seat. Then I have to sing a 3.5-minute song.
I was about to say, you couldn't get out of it, could you?
Couldn't get out of it, have to just keep singing. The verse comes in, and then I'm jumping around, sweating, and I end the song early, right when the pastor stands up. So just to make matters worse, right when he stands up and, like, worship is not going to be as awkward, then I give the cue to end the song. The track ends. The song ends. We crash out. It was so awkward.
And then she goes and hides in a closet.
I just wanted to die. It was so embarrassing. I wanted the stage to open up, and I just wanted to crawl right in. That's what I wanted to happen.
Like, and if you could have your superpower. Sorry, go ahead.
No, if I could have hidden behind a guitar, behind anything, I would have. Absolutely.
If you could have your superpower, like, be invisible, like, that would have been the perfect time.
Oh, yeah. If I could have just disappeared.
Lord.
There's so many embarrassing moments that maybe other people aren't as embarrassed by, but I am mortified by.
Well, I remember one time, I think this was like 3 or 4 years ago, I was at one of our campuses, and I was supposed to go in to Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in E, that's kind of high.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming out of Love Goes On. Remember Love Goes On by Hillsong?
Yep.
Anyways, so we came out of it, sat there on E, and I was like, Turn. I could not find it. And I gave, this is a different team I was working with, so I gave the signal to go to the next song, which is just like, you know, that's our signal here. And the MD did not know the signal.
Oh, no.
And so I'm sitting there. I mean, it was mortifying. I walked off that stage, and I was like, do you not know the hand signal to change songs?
It's your team's fault, 100%.
Then I was like, oh, I just didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. It mortified me. But you know what? Like, when you mess up, if you're not careful, it will hang on to you.
Yeah, the dark cloud.
And it becomes a fear if you're not careful.
Totally.
And
you know, we've all heard the quotes about, like, how many times Thomas Edison didn't make the light bulb. We all know that.
Right. Yeah.
And I love, like, what Brené Brown says about people can sit in the stands, but they are not willing to get in the arena. You got to be willing to get in the arena. Like, get in there. And if they criticize, they criticize, but just get in there. And I think for us worship leaders, we are on display every single weekend.
It's the rawness. It's the stand. It's just so out raw, there.
And that's what it's supposed to be. But we got to just be willing to get back in that arena, get back in there. Okay, that's not the way you make a light bulb. Cool. That's not the way people worship. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm going to try again.
Tasha, I feel like I need to hug you right now because on my way down to Highlands today, I literally was just watching her Netflix special that she just released.
Yes.
And it is so good. And she just talks about, the whole thing is about, like, courage and not listening to criticism. And it was just so amazing. So the fact that you just quoted her, I just feel like if we were in real life, I would hug you right now.
You would love that.
You're going to have to fly to her.
Hey, thank you guys so much for listening today. And don't forget to subscribe. And while you're subscribing, please leave us a review, because leaving that review, it really helps to support this ministry. Hey, and get the word out. Also, don't forget to share it with your friends and family and follow us on Instagram so you know exactly what's happening with Women in Worship.